This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Now, this week and next week, I'm going to teach you from a Bible story that I bet every person in here heard as a child. If you were raised in church, you heard this in Sunday school. It was probably one of my very favorite Bible stories. If you were here, it may have been last Wednesday night when Pastor was talking about keeping a journal when you're reading the Bible. Was it last Wednesday night that he talked about that? And he talked about writing down thoughts the Lord gave you. Well, some time ago, I was reading this story that's found in Daniel chapter 3. I was reading this story, and the Lord just began to open it to me, and he gave me 10 facts about any furnace of life you will ever find yourself in. So I call this furnace facts. Say that 10 times. No, don't say that 10 times. Furnace facts. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Daniel 3 tells the story of three young men. Actually, the whole book of Daniel is about four young men that were taken captive when the Babylonian Empire overcame and defeated Israel and took Israel into captivity because Israel was not obeying God and not serving God. And he told them, if you don't serve me, you will go into captivity eventually. So that happened. Now, their names were, they're Hebrew. They had Hebrew names and they had Babylonian names. The Hebrew names of these three young men were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But we don't really know them by those names because the king of Babylon changed their names. I don't know whether he had trouble pronouncing Israeli names or what his deal was. But he also changed Daniel's name, but we don't see his name changed in the scripture. I guess he wrote the book, and so he said, I'm not changing my name, whether the king does or not. But the Babylonian names for these three young men were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? Remember reading about them? And we're going to read their story. Their most famous story is the fiery furnace experience that they went through. I love the music that Bree led us in tonight. And as she was leading us, I thought every one of these songs hooks into what the Holy Spirit has been showing me about what to share tonight. So it really thrilled me. It always thrills me when the music and everything around it goes with the word, and you know the Holy Spirit's up to something. So he's up to something tonight. Anybody here feel like you might be in a furnace? Bad situation going? I see a few hands. So this is just for you three. The rest of you pay attention. You will find yourself in a bad situation sooner or later. So let me just read a little bit. Let's start with Daniel 3, verse 1, and let's read a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits. Now, I looked that up, and 60 cubits is 90 feet tall. That was not a little idol. It was 90 feet tall, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So he built this image. Now, he had a long-range plan for it, but to introduce it, he had a dedication service, and if you got an invitation to that, it was almost like getting an invitation to the presidential inauguration. It was a really big deal if the king sent you an invitation. And it just so happened that these three guys got an invitation. I don't know where Daniel was. When we get to heaven, let's ask him, where were you and why didn't you get thrown into the fiery furnace? We'll ask him when we get to heaven. And then he gave a command. So he gathered all these people together, and then he gave a command. Let's read on. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horns, the flutes, the harps, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now think for just a minute about what you would do if you were in that crowd and you were a Hebrew and you were a worshiper of Jehovah and you knew the Ten Commandments. Anybody know what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images. You shall not bow yourself to any other god. If there is anything, if you follow through the Old and the New Testament, you will find the thing that upsets God more than anything else with his people is idolatry. And these three guys knew it. They knew it. So there was a command, and they had a choice to make. They really had a life-changing choice to make. Let's go back just for a minute and think a little bit about that huge statue. It was made out of gold. How much gold do you think it would take to make a statue that big? Wow, that was a rich king, wasn't he? So they had to disobey the king to obey God. And they knew there would be consequences. Well, they didn't bow down. They didn't do it. Can you imagine? Everybody else is flat on their face, and there are these three guys standing up, just standing there. And they know they're in trouble, but they can't bow down. And of course, they were brought to the king. Now, he gave them a second chance. We're going to see that he gave them a second chance. And I wondered why he gave them a second chance. But if you go back to Daniel chapter 1, you will discover it's written there that there was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served the king. Now listen, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. And so he decided to give them a second chance. And so as we read on in verses 14 through 17, Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them saying, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. That will be good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace." So he didn't give them much a chance there. And then he said, "And who is the God who can deliver you from my hand?" Wow. Well, they answered him, and it was not the answer he wanted. In Daniel 3:17, this is what the boys said back to him. "And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king.'" But now listen to the next line. "But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and worship that idol." Even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. Now when they said that, it really made Nebuchadnezzar mad. Can you imagine? He's the king. These guys are slaves. How dare they defy him? He gave them a second chance even, and they still defied him. Daniel 19 through 23. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He wasn't friendly anymore. "He spoke and he commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound." Now listen to how they were bound. "They bound them in their coats, their trousers. They left their turbans on and all their other garments. And bound up, they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace." You say, well, maybe it's just a little fire. Oh, no. Look at verse 22. "Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." They fell dead on the ground. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? Now, you know, when you find yourself in a bad place, remind yourself this is not the end of the story. This isn't over till I win. And I'm going to win. And so at that point, well, I want to begin with my furnace facts. And here's the first one. Got a pencil. Here's the first fact that the Lord showed me and pointed out to me as I was reading this story. Everybody has furnace situations. Everybody does. If you live long enough, you will find yourself in a bad situation. If you were here Sunday, Bob taught on what do you do in the middle of a storm? Well, it's the same situation. A furnace, a storm, our life is threatened. Maybe not our physical life, but maybe our relationships are threatened. The enemy is attacking. Our people are attacking. We're in a bad situation. And sometimes we feel like we're the only ones. Well, you're not. Everybody, everybody, everybody. You know, life is sometimes difficult. How many of you didn't know that? We all know it, don't we? Sometimes life is difficult. The sooner you accept the fact that sometimes life is difficult, the sooner and the more easily you'll be able to cope with the difficult things that happen to you in life. In the ancient book of Job, this is a good Bible trivia thought. Do you know what the oldest book in the Bible is? It's not Genesis, it's Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. In the book of Job, in Job chapter 14, verse 1, there's a little line that says, man's days are short and filled with trouble. And those guys in those days lived a lot longer than we do. So you could say, our days are even shorter. I don't feel like my life is filled with trouble, but I have faced some furnace situations in my life. Now, I could tell you, and I will mention a few things that have happened in the few years that I've lived on the earth that were furnace situations, but God delivered me, and God will deliver you. And it's important that you realize that everything that happens to us is a result of the curse that came from sin. We're living in a fallen world. We're living in a darkened society that does not serve God. And so we've got to remember that everybody has problems. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said this in John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have tribulations. Now, you could expand that word, tribulations, trial, furnace experiences, storms. In this life, you're going to have problems. It's just part of the human experience. But listen to what he says. But cheer up. I've overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have tribulations, but cheer up, I've overcome. God is aware of the problems you're encountering. He's aware of what you need, and he's there to minister to you. Now, you know, another thing about it, realizing you're not the only one who has problems is we tend to think sometimes nobody has ever gone through anything like I'm going through now. I just don't think anybody can understand what I'm experiencing. This is the worst thing anybody has ever experienced. Get over it. No matter how bad it is, somebody's gone through something harder than you're going through. I don't know about you. I've never been thrown in a fiery furnace. I've never had to get out of that. I've never been thrown in a lion's den. Anybody here ever been thrown in a lion's den? Daniel was thrown in a lion's den, but God delivered him. I've never been caught in a storm and my boat about to sink and saw Jesus walking on the water. I would have liked to have been in that boat, by the way. No, your problem is not the worst problem that ever happened to any human. And you know, in this season, we need to realize whatever you're going through, you haven't been nailed to a cross. You haven't had to take the sin of the world. You haven't had to descend into hell and defeat death, hell, and the grave to buy salvation for humanity. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, praise the Lord, it's not the worst thing that could happen. Say that, praise the Lord, it's not the worst thing that could happen, and God is going to deliver me. You know, when you get in that mindset that you're just in this terrible situation, nobody understands, you tend to want to isolate yourself. You tend to want to isolate yourself. This morning, a friend called, and she was going through a little thing, and she said, I just think that I won't go to Bible study today. I teach a Bible study on Wednesday mornings. She said, I don't think I'll go to Bible study today. I've just gone through something, and I feel really bad, and I just don't want to go to Bible study. I said, get dressed and come to Bible study, and she did. And afterwards, on the way home, she said, I'm so glad I came to Bible study. I feel totally better. See, if she had isolated herself, she would have stewed in that problem all day long. The problem wouldn't have changed. The problem didn't change. What changed? She did. She changed. The Lord delivered her from that heaviness. If you were here Sunday, you heard one of the rules that Bob gave you. I wrote it in big old letters on my notepad. Stay in the boat. Don't leave the ship. I'm telling you, I've had people tell me, well, I just need to leave the church and get alone with God. No, you don't. And you won't. If you leave the church, you won't get alone with God. You'll get alone with yourself. And before you know it, you'll stop praying and you'll stop believing and you'll stop reading the Bible. And the devil will beat you to a pulp. Stay in the ship. There's safety in the ship. There's safety in the ship. Here's the truth. Whatever is happening to you is common to the human experience. And you know, God said this. He said he knows everything we're going through. He said, everything you're going through, I will always make a way for you to escape that you can bear it. That's what he said in Corinthians. He said, I'll always make a way of escape. He had a plan for these guys. You know, when those three guys were thrown in that furnace, they fully intended to die. I think they were really shocked when they hit the bottom of that furnace and looked around and they weren't dead. Maybe they asked, are we dead? And they may have really thought they were dead when they looked up and saw Jesus. Are we dead? But they weren't dead. They weren't dead. Realizing everybody has problems doesn't mean you should develop a negative attitude. Because bad things do happen to good people. And bad things happen to all of us. But we always also have to have a positive attitude that we're going to come out of this. We're going to come out of this. 1 Peter 5, verses 9 through 11. I don't read a lot in the Message Bible, but this is my favorite excerpt from the Message Bible. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce, and he would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only one plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on your faith. Your suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, God will have you put together again on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Don't you love that? I love that. Well, that's the first fact. Did you learn anything from the first fact? I hope you did. Here's furnace fact number two. You are not in this furnace because you are a bad person. A lot of times we feel like, oh, this has happened to me. God's punishing me for something. You may have made mistakes, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You can make really bad mistakes and still be a good person. And let me tell you, you can get yourself in horrible messes because of your stupid choices, and God will still deliver you. Sometimes it just amazes me the things God has delivered me out of, and they were the result of my stupid decisions. I know you've never made one, have you? Now remember the description. Listen again to these guys. They were handsome. They were brilliant. They were educated. They were intellectual, and they were very godly. And yet, they got in trouble, not for doing the wrong thing. They got in trouble for doing the right thing. Sometimes we get in trouble even when we do the right thing. After the Lord healed me of cancer in 1984, I was invited to appear on the 700 Club about the cancer and just to be interviewed. And after they interviewed me and they escorted me off of the set, well, I was in the back room and I was watching the program continue, and they began to discuss me and why I got cancer. And one of them said, well, do you think it was because there was some sin in her life that she got cancer? And the other one said, or maybe she wasn't wise about her health, and she didn't eat right, and maybe that's why she got cancer. And then finally they came to this conclusion, well, maybe it's just because we live in a fallen world, and cancer's out there. And anybody can get cancer. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't get angry with them because I had asked myself and God the same questions. But here's the reality. The important thing to me was not what caused the cancer, except in the realm of I could not do it again if I'd done something stupid that caused it. But the important thing to me was that I was healed of cancer because I discovered that God loved me and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for my salvation, but for my healing. Now, see, that's the important thing. Don't sit around trying to figure out why did this happen? What horrible mistake did I make? Now, if you made mistakes, repent. Repent, shake it off, and move on. But believe God that whatever you're going through, God has a solution. He's looked ahead. He knows where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He's going to deliver you. He's going to. Even when you don't understand, remember this, God loves you. You know, my mother drilled that into my head, and there's a lot of people that don't understand God loves them. But I know God loves me. He loves good little girls. He loves bad little girls. He loves me when I do the right thing. He loves me when I do the wrong thing. He loves me more than I could ever love my daughter, and I love my daughter. I just think we need to know God loves us. He loves you when you make mistakes. He loves you. He wants to pick you up. He wants to get you back on the path. This didn't happen to you because you were bad. Whatever you're going through, it didn't happen because you were bad. It happened because we live in a fallen world. It may be the result of bad decisions, but if it's the result of bad decisions, you can change your mind. Isn't that good? We can change our mind, and we can start making right decisions and turn around. Are you ready for fact number 3? I love this one. God does not build furnaces, neither does He throw you in them. That furnace was not built by God. It was built by a wicked king. And God did not throw those boys in that furnace. That king threw them in the furnace. I believe there are basically 3 things that are the cause of most of our suffering and pain and negative things. I believe that there are really 3 sources, and we need to be aware of these 3 sources. And none of the 3 is God. We tend to blame God for everything. The devil loves that. But we need to understand, first of all, a lot of times our suffering is caused by people. Wicked people, evil people. Did you know there are wicked and evil people in the world? There are people that just want to hurt other people. And once in a while, we get in the way and we get hurt. And that's not God. That's a person doing that to you. But the people that can hurt you the most are not those wicked, evil strangers out there. They're the people that are the closest to you. It's those children that break your heart. It's that husband or wife that left you and broke your heart and destroyed you. People can hurt us, but God can heal us. And you know what? The solution to the people problem is to learn to forgive. Oh, but it's so hard. I can't forgive. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Someday I'm going to teach you a whole series on forgiveness. But let me tell you this. You don't feel forgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision. Jesus said to the disciples, sometimes, guys, you're going to go into a town to minister, and they're not going to receive you. And they may beat you. They may stone you. Listen, he was stoned twice and left for dead. But that was Paul. But Jesus said, guys, when you go in those towns and they mistreat you and they hurt you, when you leave that town, what did he tell them to do? He said, shake the dust off your feet. In other words, don't carry offense with you. Don't carry that anger with you. Don't carry rage with you. It'll turn into bitterness. It'll make you sick. No, the people problem is solved when you say, Lord, you know how I feel. You know I'm hurt. You know I'm broken. But there's nothing I can do about this, so I release this to you. I make the decision to give this to you. And I ask you, Lord, to bring me out of this furnace area and heal me. People. Here's the second one. The devil. The devil causes pain and suffering. Joel Osteen's dad, used to say this all the time. Don't get God mixed up with the devil. We get God mixed up with the devil. You need to memorize John 10:10. Need to write it down, look it up, and memorize it. It says this: the thief, the devil, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So, you know, the devil wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. And he definitely will throw you in a furnace of life at any opportunity he gets. Hebrews 2:14. I'm not going to read it to you, but I am going to tell you this. Tells us that we're all subject to bondage through fear. But it also says that Jesus has taken the power away from Satan so that we can know he cannot hurt us. We have to believe God. We have to step beyond fear and trust God. He'll bring us out. And here's the third one. And I'll bet you this one is the one that's gotten most of you in trouble, because it's the one that gets me in the most trouble. Most of the things I've gone through, I built my own furnaces. And then I jumped in. But in the middle of my furnace situation, I cried out, "Help me, Jesus." And he did. He did. He brought me out. You know, we all do that. We build our own furnaces. We make these big messes, and then we jump in. But thank goodness Jesus delivers us. Are you ready for furnace fact number 4? Let's review. Furnace fact number 1, everybody experiences furnace situations. Furnace fact number 2, you're not in this furnace because you're a bad person. Furnace fact number 3, God does not build furnaces, and he doesn't throw you in them. And here's furnace fact number 4. Your furnace will reveal your confidence in God or your lack thereof. When you get in those, you know, those boys had a choice. They could have said, "Okay, we're in this big crowd. Nobody's going to notice if we just bow down. We won't really mean it. But we'll just bow down. We won't really mean it." No, these guys made a choice. They trusted God. Their confidence was in God. They'd made up their mind they were going to serve God no matter what. And so they stood tall when everybody else bowed down to worship that idol. Now, you have a choice. And when they were thrown in that fiery furnace, they still had confidence in God. I love what they said to the king. "Our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down." When you go through difficult times, in your mind and in your emotions, sometimes you're tempted not to trust God. Maybe God's not going to deliver me. Maybe it's not going to be all right. But I want you to know that you can trust God. You can trust God. We learn a lot about ourselves in a furnace. When you hit a bad place, when you hit a crisis in your life that could be earth-shattering for you, you will either turn to God or you will turn away from God. Make sure you turn toward God. The only deliverance is going to come when you turn toward God. They believed in, they trusted, they relied on God. They yielded their lives in their faith, and God delivered them. In every situation you face in life, you should ask yourself this question. Am I trusting myself? Is my confidence and trust in myself? Is my confidence and trust in another human being? Am I trusting somebody else to get me out of this mess? Or is my confidence and trust in the Lord? In our staff prayer, we confess Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 almost every time we pray. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll not lean to my own understanding. Say it with me. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll not lean to my own understanding. I trust in you, Lord, with all of my heart. I'll not lean to my own understanding. You'll get strong. You'll be able to stand. You'll discover that that furnace will not destroy you if you'll do that. Let's do one more tonight. Fact number 5. I love this one. I think this is a great place for us to stop tonight. You're not alone in your furnace. What a shock it must have been for those guys, flat on their face in that fiery furnace. And they look around, "Are we dead?" They stand up and they, "Oh my goodness, it's the Lord." The Lord was there with them. I can hear him now. "Hi guys, how are you? Just thought I'd come down and visit you. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right." And they just started walking around. They just started walking around. Let's read a little bit. Look at verse 24. "Then the king was astonished, and he rose and he spoke and he said to his counselors, 'Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said, 'Yes,' to the king. 'True, O king.' He said, 'Well, look, I see 4 men and they're loose.'" And they're walking in the midst of the fire. And they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. You know, there are people watching you in your furnace. There are people watching you. That's not a fact, but it, and one of the facts I wrote down, but it is a fact. And they may not physically see Jesus with you, but they'll see Jesus on you. When you are walking it out in the Spirit, when the Lord makes himself real to you, and you realize, hey, I'm not alone. I don't have to go through this by myself. Jesus is with me. Just think about that. Think about that. Now, here's a question that you might ask. How is it possible that Jesus could be in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, and he was not born until the New Testament? Anybody got that question? Well, I have the answer. And it's not I don't know. I always tell people I can answer any question with three words, I don't know. But I know the answer to this. Jesus said when he was on the earth in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I've been around a long time. I may not have manifested myself on the earth. I wasn't born as a child, as a baby on the earth until right now. But John said it like this, in the beginning, in the very beginning. In the very beginning in Genesis was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that God made. Now here's the key. Jesus lives outside time. I'm trapped in time. How about you? You know, Back to the Future and some other shows talk about time travel. And I think that's fascinating. I don't want to do that. But it's fascinating. But Jesus lives outside time. So it's easy for him to be in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel and to be over here walking on the water in the New Testament too. Because he lives outside time. And someday so will you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That was extra. Has nothing to do with what I'm teaching you. Here's the fact I want you to take away from this. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. You're never alone. Jesus is with you. Jesus is always with you. Actually, the Holy Spirit is in you. You carry him with you if you've received him as your Lord and Savior. I love this scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's a powerful verse, isn't it? No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. There have been times in my life when I couldn't feel Jesus. Anybody identify with that? Going through tough times, it seemed like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and nothing was getting through. Felt like nothing was ever going to change, but Jesus was there. He was always there. In the end, in every situation, I found it to be true that Jesus was with me. Not only was he with me, he led me out. He led me into a prosperous place. He delivered me from everything. Your confession is so important in your times of furnace and difficulty. He has said, so we may boldly say. You need to discover the promises in the Word, for they give you the words to say in the middle of your furnace. If you're sick, you need to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. If you need to be delivered, you need to find a scripture that says, the Lord will deliver me. We need to get it in our mouth. We need to have the same confession that he has based on the Word. I want to close with that same verse from the Amplified Bible. I love it from the Amplified Bible. Listen to it. I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up. I will not leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Tonight, give us new hope. Give us new energy. Lord, cause us to place our trust and confidence in you, not in our own might, but in the power of the Lord, that you are going to deliver us from everything we're going through, that you're with us. You're with us to deliver us. You're with us to make sure that we get out of these messes that we're in Jesus' name. If you're in this place and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your opportunity. If you'll just slip your hand in the air, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Just hold them there for a minute so I can see. I see your hands. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. Maybe you say, Lord, I know that Jesus is my Lord. I've made him my Lord and Savior, but I've been away from him. And tonight I want to rededicate my life. I want you to pray for me. Hold your hand up if that's you. All over the building. All over the building. Lots of hands tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray with you so you'll be comfortable. And this simple prayer has the power to transform not just your present life, but your eternity. So let's pray together. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me, as the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.